Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Bob Casimir, the Army Corps of Engineers, Director of Corporate Information, and Chief Information Officer. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Morning, Jason. Thank you for coming over.
Well, let's start with some basics. The Army Corps of Engineers, everyone thinks, oh, I know what they do. But really, whenever I ask this question, I always learn so much. So just kind of give me a high-level overview. What is the mission of the Army Corps of Engineers?
The Corps of Engineers provides critical engineering support to the nation. We do that in a variety of ways. Most folks will see us on the riverways, the inland waterways of the nation, or perhaps doing military construction. A lot of them will also see us, though, in action when a disaster strikes and we respond.
So obviously, it's a wide variety. Now, you as the CIO, Director of Corporate Information, obviously supports that broad mission. So give me a sense of your role. How does it work? What are some of your day-to-day activities?
Well, as any CIO, Director of Corporate Information, will say, it's first leadership. We've got a diverse team across the world that supports the Corps with IMIT services. We have to provide vision for that team, take us into the future. And on a day-to-day basis, I'm worried about things like information assurance, making sure that we have a reliable system, that our architectures are compliant with the federal government and the way that the Army has structured itself. So on a day-to-day basis, it's leadership, it's IA concerns and architecture.
But you also have that front-end and back-end responsibilities around strategy, around day-to-day operations. Give me a sense of how that works, because as you said, you have offices and locations across the country. Your network must be pretty spread out.
Yeah, exactly. We have about 55 districts, division headquarters, laboratories, and centers that we support. And to do that across the world, we've got a diverse team of IT professionals. We have a major service provider that provides support across the CONUS. That's called ACE IT. And that organization does the day-to-day operational activities for IT.
Do they report back up to you? Is it have kind of that broad strategy perspective, and you have maybe somebody else who deals with that, make sure there's enough storage, enough bandwidth, and things like that?
Yeah, so we have our team that provides guidance and the overall information for that activity. We're changing exactly how we're wiring together ourselves, and that's part of our transformation I'll talk with you about in a little bit here, I think. But the day-to-day operations are handled by ACIT and IT professionals across the world.
So as your role as CIO, you don't necessarily, if you will, get your hands dirty. Maybe you're more of a strategy looking at, okay, where are we now, where do we need to go type of perspective?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess you could say it that way. Although, I get a chance to get out and about with all the folks that are working hard to provide IT services. And I'll tell you, they're doing a fantastic job. So if my hands aren't dirty, it's because theirs are, and they're doing a super job at it.
Well, sometimes it's good not to necessarily get your hands dirty, but just know where the dirt is. I think that's a key there. Now, you guys also, as the Army Corps of Engineers, as we were talking kind of before the interview a little bit, you have a reporting structure that goes up to the Army CIO, General Lawrence. Give me a sense of just how those relationships work, because I think a lot of people look at the Army Corps of Engineers as a separate entity and don't really, even though it has the word Army in it, doesn't necessarily make that connection back to the Army.
That's true. Lots of folks do see us through a different prism. We often report to OMB because of our civil works responsibilities and separate legislations that govern that. But in the end, we are the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, very proud to be the Corps of Engineers. Our leadership is fundamentally military officers. Our commander is a three-star position. And each of the divisions and districts are commanded by one or two star officers and lieutenant colonels or colonels at the district level. So we have a very military and army-oriented command structure.
And your relationship, obviously, back to the Army CIO is, I imagine, if not a straight line, a very strong dotted line?
Yes, absolutely. General Susan Lawrence, a great leader. She provides guidance across the Army. We're one of the many organizations that report back to Army, and of course, as the Director of Corporate Information, I have a very close relationship with her staff almost on a daily basis, often on a weekly basis.
Let's talk about your office a little bit. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors do you have? How big is your IT budget? Just give me a sense of kind of the internal workings.
I have approximately 60 folks that work for me and my staff. Now, we support an organization about 37,000 across the world here in the Corps of Engineers. To do that, we've got our service provider, and they have just under 600 or so federal workers, and they're augmented with contract support. We have a major contract with Lockheed Martin. They partnered with our service provider, and they provide the bulk of our IT services in the CONUS. We also have excluded sites around the world, excluded from that particular service provider, Iraq, Afghanistan, Japan, and Korea. And so we provide IT services there also.
And your IT budget for 2011, give me a rough estimate.
Yeah, we're just about $500 million across the world. And that includes not only our service provider, but local IT spend, includes other services. And so that's the complete panoply, if you will, of IMIT services, to include visual information, print services, and VoIP, full range.
A lot of agencies are looking at their ratio of contractors to feds and say, okay, we need to bring that either closer together or it's at a good spot. Have you guys done any kind of baseline or research around, okay, do we have is the ratio accurate or good enough for us?
Well, yes. We've been through a major transformation. Starting in about FY08, we embarked on an A76. So an A76 event is major for any federal agency. That's basically is where the government employees get to compete for their own jobs. As a result of that, we had significant restructuring and cost avoidance through a much leaner organization coming out of that. And so now, on any given year, we're looking at approximately $49 million or so of cost avoidance per year. That's what we're reporting.
Now, Lockheed Martin had won that A76, if I remember correctly, because as soon as you said that, it kind of sparked that little bit of memory. Oh, I remember I actually probably wrote about that. Give me a sense. I mean, I know you're fairly new here still, and you came after that A76, but you're saying about $49 million in cost avoidance. How do you calculate that cost avoidance?
Well, that was based on a baseline, all part of the A76 process. So we had a baseline year of, I believe, 2003, established where we would be had we not gone through the A76, and then make those calculations and report that on to OMB and to the Army and DOD.
Is there some thoughts yet about recompeting, re-looking at that initial contract with Lockheed Martin that came through A76, or is that still in the future?
Well, yes. We are going about the process of doing what I'm calling an IT master plan for how we transition past the current period of performance. Right now, there are provisions that tell us not to recompete, and so we have to work within what the law other regulations grant us authority to do.
All right, sounds like maybe we've touched upon a little bit of some of your priorities. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit upon some more of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Bob Kazimer, the Army Corps of Engineers, Director of Corporate Information.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Bob Kazimer, the Army Corps of Engineers, Director of Corporate Information. Now, Bob, before break, we talked a little bit about your role as CIO. We talked about your relationship with the U.S. Army CIO, General Lawrence. We even talked about the makeup of your office a little bit. Let's talk about some of your priorities. What are you looking to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
Well, 6 or 9 months is both a long time in IT and a short time when you're trying to get something done across an enterprise. One of the things that we're all very conscious of is cybersecurity and IA. It's been a consistent theme of mine as I've arrived here, and we're continuing to make some real progress across the enterprise in making sure that we meet our requirements and our commitments to our customers. In addition, we're doing, like all of the federal government, consolidation. We're looking to do virtualization. We are, in fact, replacing old servers with new that are more capable and virtualizing processes, centralizing them to our two primary data centers, and continuing on in line with what OMB is asking the federal government to do and DOD and Army are planning to do. So we're a member of the Army team going about the Army data center consolidation plan.
All right, a couple things in there. Let me jump back to cyber. Now, obviously, everyone's focused on cyber. There's been a lot of initiatives over the last 3, 4, 5 years focused on cyber. Give me a sense of where you're at. What are you trying to do? There's the new around continuous monitoring. There's the trusted internet connections. There's HSPD-12. There's DNS security. I think I could go on and on and on. So give me a sense of where you're focusing.
Well, first, I want to make sure that we have the baselines so that we are fully implementing HSPD-12 DAC enforcement across the Corps of Engineers. It's a very important process, and we're taking it very seriously. We're moving to Windows 7, the new operating system, and just that helps us to improve our cybersecurity. We're taking deliberate steps to make sure that each one of our commands, wherever they are, and they often are in major cities across the United States, have the capability to meet all the standards that DOD and the Army require of us. We've just gone through a very extensive look at, for example, our Los Angeles district. They're in the midst of what's known as a CCRI, a Command Cyber Readiness Inspection. And we anticipate some good results out of that. A lot of energy and effort went into making sure that we're meeting the mark, and I think the results will bear that out.
You know, it's funny because you, again, I got caught up at thinking that you guys are a civilian agency with HSPD-12, yet you're a DOD agency with CAC. So I know that, for instance, DOD back in 2006 mandated everyone use their CAT cards for logical access. I'm going to make an assumption here. You probably already have that installed, or at least if not, you are about to. And then there's also the physical access piece. So give me a sense of what you're doing with CAC. I know that there's a lot of people, a lot of use for the CAT card from signing emails, or signing documents, PKI type of things.
Well, yes. First off, as I said, we got to do the basics. So we've made sure that we're 100% compliant with the intent and letter of CAC enforcement. It's a key piece of infrastructure for us. And, of course, we've implemented things that allow us to sign and encrypt to digitally sign documents. We have digitized, I believe, most, if not all, of the key core forms that we use and enable them so that they can be signed digitally. So we're continuing a process and a transformation that began some time ago.
You mentioned that the Los Angeles district is going through a CCR, a Cyberness Readiness Inspection. Can you give me a sense of what that is, how that works? That's an interesting concept.
The U.S. Cyber Command, and as part of the DISA team, select various circuits across the DOD and partners, announce that they will conduct an inspection, give us some time to prepare, and then come down for a full week of scanning, interviews, analysis, observations, and in my estimation, it's a no-holds-barred inspection. So we take it very seriously. We did with the Los Angeles leadership team and with our national assets, and it looks like, and that will be winding up today. I'll take the out brief later this afternoon, but we're expecting a good result based on early indications.
Is this the first one that the Cyber Command has done for the Army Corps of Engineers?
It is. It's the first one. So we want to start off on the right foot. And also, more importantly, it's not just about Los Angeles. It's about making sure that our national team and our leadership team can take the lessons that we learn in the preparation for this CCRI and apply them across the Corps, across the world.
Do you foresee some sort of kind of meeting with some of the leaders around the cyber leaders in the Army Corps to a debrief to kind of say, okay, here's what we did right, here's what we could do better next time? Do you foresee that happening in the next couple months and then those lessons learned being implemented over the next year?
Well, absolutely. We're going to do our own, we call it hot wash, immediately following the results. And from that, we'll do an internal set of analyses and evaluations of how to plan for the future. But we're already in a dialogue with our partners in Army and DOD, whether it's General Lawrence's staff or General Rhett Hernandez's staff as U.S. Army Cyber Command. We're very concerned about cyber, how it affects our infrastructure that we're responsible for. You know, we produce 24% of the nation's hydropower. We're responsible for navigation along 12,000 miles of inland channel. All of those structures have systems that are controlled electronically, and we have to make sure they're hardened against possible issues and threats.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to hit upon your other big priority around virtualization and consolidation. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Bob Kazimer, the Army Corps of Engineers, Director of Corporate Information.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Bob Kazimer, the Army Corps of Engineers, Director of Corporate Information. Now, Bob, before break, we're talking a little bit about your priorities. You have two big ones, cyber, which we spent a fair amount of time talking about, but your other one was consolidation, virtualization. Leads me to the most obvious question, Army Enterprise Email. We know Army's moving their email system to the DISA cloud. Are you guys in line for that?
Well, yes. Yes, we are. We're actually kind of at the caboose of the line there. And the Corps is kind of unique. As I mentioned before, we're not on the NipperNet, so we've had to work some different kind of technological solutions. At the same time, Army's working to enterprise their email, and work it is, because you've got to work through lots of technical issues and challenges to synchronize and come out with one smooth network. We're doing the same thing. You know, our A76, I mentioned, in earnest, we started 3 years ago, taking from 55 different locations and centers, each doing IT their own way, under their own authorities, and merging that together. So we ourselves have been doing an enterprising of our email services. We're over 50% complete with that, centralizing to our data centers, backing it all up, and in some cases, in most cases lately, making those transitions seamless to the user. So we are in line with Army. We're a partner. We're working through technical solutions. These aren't easy, as the Army has also found that there are numerous challenges. But the benefits are substantial for smoothing out, as I say, the network, for coming, making sure that firewalls are compliant, that the network flows nicely.
And that's so important, because obviously with so many things dependent on technology. I think it's little things, but those little things matter so much. Now, you also mentioned that the 55 different locations being merged together. You also talked earlier a little bit about two data centers. Was the consolidation of data centers also part of that, or had you guys already consolidated before the A76?
No, we hadn't done it before. In fact, we're still doing the transformation right now. We're making substantial progress with the recapitalization of servers, virtualizing and centralizing. But there's a ways to go. It's a very complex infrastructure that's been built up over decades, at least three decades of serious work, whether it's in water management or CAD GIS systems or all the management systems that support each of the different commands. They're handcrafted solutions. So to change all of that, you need deliberate engineering, robust architectures, money to invest, and, of course, leadership to compel the changes. So we're working all those issues together so that we have smooth out business processes that make sense to the customer and that are affordable.
How virtualized are you? I mean, could you give me a percentage?
I would say, though, that it's probably less than 10% at this point.
Now, is the virtualization, and when you think of virtualization, leads you to the obvious question about cloud computing, big push across government for cloud computing. Is that your first step toward the cloud, or do you already have kind of a toe dipped in the cloud?
Yeah, I think we're following an incremental approach. We do have a toe or two dipped into the cloud endeavor. We're certainly partnered with Army and those cloud initiatives. We're moving our public-facing websites to the DoD cloud, if you will, and we're getting benefits out of that. We're starting really with our own headquarters and then out to the Pacific and moving across the core with putting those public-facing websites at a central location with the rest of our DoD partners.
Do you foresee moving eventually applications and other, if you will, mission-critical programs to the cloud over in time?
Well, we've certainly done that internally to our private cloud. So our financial systems, our significant program management systems, our emergency management systems, they're all essentially hosted in our own private cloud. Doing the business cases to take that elsewhere, we'll work those issues.
I know that's a lot of interest, a lot of push, obviously, by both DoD and the Office of Management Budget, so I'm sure it's not something that will go away anytime soon. The other hot topic you hear a lot about is mobile computing. Now, because you guys are spread out, because you have people probably in the field quite often, what are you guys doing around mobile computing? Are you looking at, you know, tablet devices, smartphone devices yet?
Well, we certainly are. Again, we're an Army activity, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So we, like most of the DoD, use BlackBerries as our primary smartphone. However, our laboratories down at Vicksburg have been looking at iPhone, iPad, Android, and coming up with prototype systems, applications, and that can help our emergency managers in the field.
I know there's been a lot of interest in the iPhones and iPads. So can you give me a little bit more about what the lab in Vicksburg is doing in terms of prototypes?
Well, sure. We competed back a couple of years ago, I guess it is now, with the Apps for the Army contest. And one of our applications had to do with what we call Blue Roof. After a hurricane sweeps in, often structures lose their roofs. And if you can save and put a temporary roof on, you can save the structure. So putting those tarpaulin kind of roofs on, very important. Well, our application that our engineers designed helps through geolocation and signing to give access to federal employees so that it can rapidly triage an area and get Blue Roof onto structures. That's an example. We also have applications that work with our flood managers as they survey levees so that they can find problem areas, take a picture, geolocate it, send it back, and correlate that information so that our flood management and water management teams can do their responsibility, which has been very significant this year.
The Apps for the Army was a tremendous effort across the whole service to develop applications. Has there been any word if other similar contests are coming?
Well, yes, I do believe there are. The Army wants to capitalize on the initiative. They had that first initiative. I think we had about 100 contestants and a number of winners. For future, what we really want to do is get to a DoD app store where we can have a reliable, safe place to put our applications and use them in DoD devices. I know that the DoD CIO, the Army CIO, across the environment, everybody's anxious to get a certified device in the field working, a tablet device, a smartphone, so that we can use, whether it's Android or Apple-based systems, or perhaps BlackBerry also, we can get these useful applications out very quickly. So I'm very anxious to be able to get the go-ahead to put these things on the network in a consistent way. At present, we just have pilots.
What needs to be done to move them out of that proof of concept to the production phase? Is it just a security issue?
Yes, it's security. We need to ensure that we get all the check marks through the DoD process, and they're deliberately working it. I know the leadership is very anxious to get these kind of products into our hands so that our teams can use them.
Let me shift a little bit, because one of the things you talked about was the app for the Blue Roof, for instance, and the Army Corps of Engineers seems to be playing a more significant role, or at least more public role, around when it comes to disasters. From your perspective, the IT perspective, give me a sense of some of the things you're working on to help, you know, with that effort when a disaster occurs, or to prepare for, you know, for instance, levees or dams so they can withstand hurricanes or other natural events.
This has been a record year for floods. As many of your listeners probably know, the Mississippi experienced what is approximately a 200-year flood. That means only 1 year out of 200 would we expect to see these kinds of levels. So we operated structures, floodways, that had not been operated in over 70 years to accommodate the amount of water. Along the Missouri River, it was in places 500-year flood by some estimates. To manage all that water and systematically do it in a way that protects civilians along the riverways is a large orchestrated event. Water managers in each district coordinate, use detailed models, and then communicate with the other districts and divisions along the riverway to ensure that we have a comprehensive plan for all that water, getting it from its origin, often in snowpack up in the mountain ranges, down through the Gulf, and often in the Mississippi case out in New Orleans. So all that has to be supported by IT, you know, communications, the applications that are running there. We ensure that we've got a safe, reliable way for them to do those calculations and to communicate so that we can manage that responsibility.
Was there anything new this year? Now, you can't really predict a flood. It just kind of happens. But was there anything new this year that you use, any new technologies, any new applications that maybe were brought up and showed that, hey, this really made a big difference?
Some of those applications that we're doing in prototype mode actually put into the field helped our surveyors as they looked for problem areas along the levees. You know, we have thousands of miles of federal levees and then also private and local levees that protect populated areas along these rivers. Using those apps helped in the estimation of the commanders responsible there for coordinating efforts and ensuring that we could respond quickly to areas where there was a problem. And we also employed social media. We pushed a lot of content out to Facebook, to Twitter, so that local communities knew what the water situation was in the vicinity of them, what the inundation plots looked like, and they could make calculations about what they wanted to do, what risk they were willing to take, and how much time they had to get out of an area before there might be an issue.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time, but before I let you go, I always like to ask a little bit about your background. Give me a little sense of where have you worked before, where else? How long have you been CIO here at the Corps of Engineers?
I started life in the Army as a cadet at West Point. Graduated in 78 into the Corps of Engineers, and I served 28 years as an engineer officer. So really, this is somewhat of a homecoming for me to come back. Most recently, prior, I was over in the Army CIO G6 staff, where I worked in governance and acquisition and was the proponent for the Army's knowledge management system called AKO, 2.2 million users. So it was a nice event when I had the opportunity to come to the Corps of Engineers and maintain my partnership with the team at CIO G6.
All right, very good. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was Bob Kazimer, the Army Corps of Engineers, Director of Corporate Information, and Chief Information Officer. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jason. Happy to do it, and love to do it again.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Brian McGrath is the Census Bureau's CIO.
We have a corporate pilot underway where we're looking at some mobile data management capabilities to provide tablets for other parts of the organization for remote access and to conduct business applications and operations away from the standard laptop or desktop environment.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.